with me, if you would, this morning, and we're going old school again. It's been a busy couple of weeks, so I don't have a PowerPoint for you, but bless God for the printed word. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And may I say, I've been blessed by not just Vacation Bible School, although I've been blessed by that, and blessed by just the wonderful enthusiasm and turnout of different people who are working. And it's just symbolic of what goes on in many areas, in many ministries within our church. We have many committed people. And I don't view any of them as volunteers. I view all of you who are working for the kingdom of God in this local body as servants of the Most High God. Because you are more than volunteers. In fact, let me say this morning, as far as our church, number one, we don't need volunteers. And you won't hear many churches say that. I'm not saying that we don't need people to do the ministry. Sometimes I think we think the ministry of the local church is like an outreach that we did at a church I interned at in a town called Baptist Town, New Jersey. Anyone ever heard of it? No, I don't think people in Baptist Town ever heard of it either. It's really, really small. But the pastor had an idea. And actually, he did this idea other years before. It was a thing, and I might have shared this story with you before, but if I haven't, please, if I did, please forgive me. But the outreach was for a Sunday night, and it was called Drive-In Church. And he brought in some kind of a platform. And we had a group from Zion come down to sing and preach. And we did it outside, but there were no chairs. People just came in their cars like you would come to a drive-in movie. And let me tell you, I had a very small role in this, and my role was to open in prayer. It was kind of a weird feeling to lead a bunch of cars in prayer for the drive-in church. And it was an interesting night. And I don't know if he did it again afterwards, but sometimes we can have that mentality as far as church, where, you know, it's just something that we drive into, we experience like seeing a movie or watching a sporting event. We just kind of drive in and enjoy the show, and then we go home. In fact, some people think that's the idea behind Vacation Bible School. And let me tell you, Vacation Bible School is not just kids coming to sing songs and to play games and to hear scripture, although all of those things that have happened during the night. Tonight is actually going to be a commissioning service where kids are going to understand that now it's their responsibility, after having heard about God's love and understanding, and I hope last night was our salvation emphasis night, that the love that they have received from Jesus now needs to be given to others. You know, the church is something that we do. It's not something that we experience. And I'm going to say, and don't stone me when I say this, I'll bring some clarity to this statement after I say it. But the strength of the local church is the willingness of believers to do the work of the gospel. I know the strength of the Lord Jesus, of the church, is the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit. But God has chosen you and me to do the work of the ministry in this place and in this city. So number one, if we are going to see the kingdom of God move here in this local body, and God doesn't need us to do the work of the kingdom in Norwich, He can go down. He can start a new work. He can go down the road. And he's already, there are other good churches that are doing good works for God's kingdom in this church, in this city. We need all the churches that we can get. God doesn't need us. So if we refuse to serve, then work will not be done here, and our church will wither on the vine and die, so to speak. The strength of this church is you and me doing the work of the kingdom of God. Of course, we need to know God. We need to be full of the passion of the Holy Spirit in our heart to reach people, to encourage people. You know, there's two aspects of ministry, sharing Jesus with others, and then those who know Jesus, encouraging them in their faith. And that responsibility falls upon us. But what I'd like to talk about this morning, as we're talking about service, and this has been, actually, I'm not going to say it's been a week of service. It's been like a month and a half of service. Because, as you have seen, all this didn't come together just last Friday. A lot of work went into it. And bless God for all those people who are willing to do that. One mentality that we cannot have if we're going to see our church move forward this fall and into 2015 is the mentality that we're just a bunch of volunteers. In order to see the kingdom of God move forward in this church, we need to have a servant and not a volunteer mentality. And so our text this morning is going to address that. It's from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Reading just one verse, and we're going to look at several this morning. And the scripture reads, and this is regarding service, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom." But let me read to you the first part of that verse once again, because that's the part I want to focus on this morning. "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." I almost had you repeat it with me, you know, being in Vacation Bible School. But it's a great verse to memorize, but an even greater verse to live by. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing on the sharing of His Word this morning. Father, we give glory and honor and praise unto Your name. We thank You for the good word, the testimony of what God is doing in Guatemala. We thank You for what You've done this past week in our Vacation Bible School. We thank You for what You have been doing in our church. And we thank You, God, but we're also burdened because we know in our hearts there's more that needs to be done for Your kingdom. And God, if we are going to be Your instruments, because we know that You have chosen us to be Your instruments of grace and mercy in this world, we need to be committed servants and not just volunteers. And so, God, as we talk about this morning, we ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to descend upon this place. I pray You give words to this speaker, and I pray You give ears to everyone who is hearing today. May we receive what You have prepared for us today with all of our hearts, mind, and soul. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. There are a lot of enemies to serving Jesus, to being a servant. You know, and one that comes to mind, I didn't write down any this morning on my notes. One that comes to mind is busyness. You know, busyness can be an enemy. Distraction can be an enemy. But our attitude can also be an enemy to doing, number one, what God has called us to do, and number two, doing it the way that God has called us to do it. In fact, we've been talking about how we should live for God. Several weeks ago, I think about 3 or 4 weeks ago now, we talked about how serving God, if we're truly to serve God, it's either all or nothing. And that's not just for pastors, that's for every one of us who professes Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. If we're not in it all the way, and I know people have jobs and families and all those different things, but if we're not serving Jesus with everything we possibly can, then we're falling short of the calling of God upon our lives. An attitude is something that can hinder us from serving God as we should. And one of the things that can affect our attitude is having a volunteer mentality when it comes to the work of the kingdom of God in the local church and elsewhere. And I know ministry is not just within the local church. A lot of ministry happens outside of local church. It should happen with your neighbors. It should happen with your families. It should happen at the grocery store, at your job, and so on and so forth. But one of the things we all struggle with, I struggle with as a leader, and every one of you struggle with, because this is just part of human nature. You know, there's things regarding human nature. Excuse me. Things regarding human nature that we struggle with and that we have to keep down because it's part of our old nature and or our flesh that tries to reassert itself in our lives, and we got to keep beating it back with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, is having that volunteer mentality. And I'm not saying all volunteers are bad. There are some. You know, I think of volunteer firemen. Those guys are all in. I mean, I think they're volunteer in name only. They are truly dedicated and are truly what we would call public servants. And they can put their lives on hold in times of crisis and go take care of fires. Wonderful people. But normally, when you think of someone who is a volunteer, you think of someone who is just not in it, at least not in it as much as someone who might be paid or might have some kind of title or have ministry or whatever volunteerism as their career. You know, they're just kind of doing it. If they've got the time and if they feel like, if they're in the mood, or if they've got the energy. That's not something we can have as a church. We can't. And I thank God for the service-driven members of our church. But we've got to be very careful. We can't let that volunteer mentality to come in. And I find myself falling into that volunteer mentality trap when we have a need, saying, I need a few what? Volunteers. What am I saying? I'm not saying we need some servants who will be wholly dedicated to the task, no matter how big, no matter how small, to take this responsibility and to do it with their best. I need someone who's got some spare time, and if they feel like it, maybe if they could do that, so on and so forth. That's not what Jesus called the apostles to. That's not what the apostles called the elders to do and servants within the kingdom of God. And that's not something that we can have if we're going to continue to move forward in Jesus Christ. Having a volunteer mentality is very dangerous. And there, specifically, I think Scripture teaches us or shows us three reasons or three ways that having a volunteer mentality can be very detrimental to our service for the kingdom. Reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 62, we have the words of Jesus. And he's speaking about living for God, and he's specifically speaking about service, because he's using the imagery or the illustration of farming. And he says, in teaching about Christian service, he says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom. Wow. Now, he wasn't just addressing in this scripture the disciples. You know, you guys are the disciples. I'm going to promote you to apostles. You know, after I die and rise again and ascend to the right hand, you're going to be apostles. And so you can't look back. But this is just for you and no one else. That's not whom Jesus was speaking to at all. This is Holy Scripture, not only for those who were listening to the Word of God at the time, but for you and me today in 2014. If we're going to do something, we've got to be fully committed. Which means we need to have something that sometimes lacks when it comes to the ministry of the kingdom of God, and that's follow through. If we adopt a volunteer mentality, there's a temptation to lack commitment or to not follow through in what our commitments are. Because what does a volunteer do? Well, I'm not getting paid. You know. So I'll serve for a little while. But if it becomes inconvenient, and how many have ever found that doing something for the kingdom will become inconvenient to you? It will cost you time. Sometimes it will cost you money. I know there are people for this Vacation Bible School who gave offerings. I know there are people who are teaching and doing different things or decorations who bought their own. Why? Because they wanted to see Vacation Bible School done with excellence. And I know there are people involved in different ministries who give of themselves, including their material needs, to do the work of the kingdom. If you've ever served God, if you've ever done anything for the kingdom, at times it's exciting. You know, I'm going to use Vacation Bible School a lot since that's what we've been doing this week. But, you know, it's been kind of exciting. It's been fun. You know, we've got the decorations and the lights. We're jumping up and down. We're singing. It's all new. But after tonight, we're going back to Sunday school and kids' church and Royal Rangers. As wonderful as they are for us as leaders, and I know some of you have been doing children's ministry or whatever ministry you've been doing for years, it can become the same thing. Let me let you in on a little secret. Sometimes ministry is boring because you've done the same thing over and over and over again. And the fan is my adversary this morning. I wish I had memorized my message, but we'll get through it. Amen. Praise God. In fact, if someone could run to the office and get me a big paper clip, that would be very helpful. Thank you. And when you are a servant, you are committed to the cause of Christ, then even though times may be difficult, even though it might be inconvenient, even though you might be going through difficulty. And let me tell you, God didn't say to the disciples, follow me, unless something, you know, happens and you're really upset and going through different things, and then you can back off a little bit. No. Once again, Luke 9:62, Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. That means sometimes, thank you so much, we need to serve God in spite of our tears and our weakness. And let me let you in on a little secret. As someone who is pastored, and I don't say I am the perfect pastor, I am not by any means. We don't have the luxury, if we're serving God, not to minister just because we're having a bad day or when we're weak. But let me tell you, some of the most precious times I have had as a minister of the gospel is when I thought I either had nothing left or I had so many distressing things coming against me in my life. And instead of giving up, God gave me the grace to press on through. And let me tell you, the power of God was just so sweet to me, ministering not only through me, but to me personally. You deprive yourself of a great blessing of God when you adopt a volunteer mentality and give up or quit the ministry, or don't demonstrate follow through. Going back to our main text this morning from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, this scripture teaches us that volunteers are half-hearted. Just the first part of that verse. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Something happens sometimes when you have volunteers and not servants doing things for the kingdom of God. And that thing is very detrimental. And what it is, a volunteer either has a low or a less than full standard of excellence, if any standard of excellence at all. What do I mean by that? Well, when someone volunteers, they're just kind of helping out a little bit, and they have no ownership of what God is calling them to do. Let me tell you, when you are called by God to do something, that belongs to you. And you need to have the highest standard of excellence that you can possibly have for that particular area of ministry. I'm not saying you have to do it perfectly, because none of us can do the work of the kingdom perfectly. But we are called to give it our very best, to be wholehearted in what we do for the kingdom. Because someone who does something with less than all of their might is doing something less than what God has called them to do. And that means when you're called by God, you need to take ownership. And a servant takes ownership, because a servant understands that he or she, when he's doing this work for the kingdom, the work that he or she is doing reflects, number one, God to everyone they are ministering to. And they're also representing themselves as a servant of God. I am against pride in every form, but there is a place in human nature for self-respect. Amen? And as Christians, we need to live and act with dignity. Amen? Amen. I mean, I know there are times where we're humble, or God humbles us in the eyes of men, that he might be exalted in us. But there is no grace and glory of God in a careless attitude. What would you think of me if I came in this morning with matted hair, and not because I bought a jar of, do they call it bedhead? Is that what that stuff is called? And not because I put bedhead and had, you know, kind of a dirty face. I'd say unshaven, but unshaven is actually acceptable today, so that's not too bad. And I had dirty clothes with stains. You know, I had, you know, what they would call the Italian sports shirt. Does anyone know what that means? It has spaghetti on it. And you can tell it's been there for a couple days. What kind of a reflection would that be of God and myself as someone who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior? We need to understand, if we're truly servants of the living God, we need to realize that we reflect Christ not only in our appearance, I'm not saying be vain, but in what we have been called to do as his servants. Thirdly, the third danger of volunteerism is that volunteers lack a sense of duty. And this is very dangerous. Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Now, my daughter, as many of you know, because you've seen her, works at McDonald's. And she usually works in one of the windows. So when you go to McDonald's down here on West Main Street, first person you talk to might be Caitlin. So be nice. No, I'm just kidding. And if she takes your order correctly, and if you get, you know, the Big Mac, or I was going to say the Whopper, but that's the other place, or your French fries and your shaker drink, and it's all to order, do you run back in the store after you've gone through the drive-thru and say, thank you, Caitlin, so much for giving me what I ordered? And I'm going to send you a thank you card later this week. And at Christmas time, I'm going to remember you because you've gotten my drink and my sandwich and my fries. And I'm now going to put you into my will because you have done such a great job. Would anyone do that? Except for Raylene, because she's the mom. You do it anyways. That's God's grace. No, none of us would do those things. Why? Because we expect that. We're paying for that. That's her job. She is a servant. And that's the mindset we are to have regarding the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus is trying to illustrate in this little story. But when we give in to that draw, that pull, to become that we're volunteers and not servants, we think that when we are serving God, we're doing God a favor. Oh, God, me being here for Sunday school, or me being here for children's church, or me being here for vacation Bible school, or me leading this group, or me cleaning the church, I'm doing you a favor. You should be, in fact, I should be rewarded. I'm expecting some great blessings this week, which is a total misunderstanding of grace. Another message for another time, but I did have to throw that in there. That's a very dangerous mentality, that you are doing God and the church a favor. Because when you adopt, you know, wow, I came up and cleaned after a church supper. The danger of thinking you are doing God and the church a favor when you serve is that you think, or at least you believe, you're okay with doing this as long as things cater to you. Let me tell you, there's a unique dynamic for almost everything as it pertains to the work of the ministry, and that is you don't work alone. You've got to work with other people. And you know what I have found in my 20-some-odd years of pastoring? Everyone's different. Everyone has their strengths. Everyone has their weaknesses. Everyone has their unique personalities. And everyone has their own perspective. And I'm sad to say they don't all agree with me. We're not all a bunch of clones. In fact, one of the most difficult things that I still wrestle with as a leader in the body of Christ is allowing people, when we delegate responsibility to other people, to do things the way that God is leading them to do things and not the way that I think they should do those things. If you serve God, whether you're leading or you're serving along with someone else, invariably they will do things that you don't agree with. In fact, and I have found this in projects, either in, you know, long-standing ministries or big events like we're doing. Let me tell you, the one thing that Satan doesn't want to see in any church, including our church, is to go forward. And so anytime we purpose in our hearts and lives to do something for the kingdom of God, you can guarantee two things happening, and they're closely related. Number one, you can guarantee that Satan will not sit on the sidelines and just say, okay, go ahead and preach the kingdom. Go ahead and do the works of the kingdom. I'm hands off, you know. I won't bother you. I'll bother some other church that's not doing anything. They're just kind of sitting there. Not at all. In fact, he's going to concentrate his forces against us. That's why the most important ministry of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is prayer. Because we need the covering of God or the protection of God upon our church and ministry. Because the enemy will look for and find and exploit every weakness. And as we work together as the body of Christ, the enemy, but also pressure itself. You know, there's something that happens. And you and I are vessels or jars or glasses. There's something that happens when we're being used. Pressure is being exerted on us. If you fulfill your call to minister, you're inviting stress and pressure in your life. And that stress and that pressure, in and of its own nature, Satan will try to exploit it. But it just happens anyways. Whether Satan was here or not, we'll expose weaknesses. And there's two aspects to those weaknesses. One is personal weakness. We find our own shortcomings. I find in doing the ministry, or when pressure situations come, I find how weak my faith is. I find how short my patience is. I see my own weaknesses. And as a body, when our church body or any church body that I've pastored, whenever we've undertaken a project, when stress comes in, it shows weakness as well. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That is a good thing. Because whenever weakness is exposed in my life or in a church, that means, praise God, God is bringing something to light. And God, therefore, we now can see it, and now hopefully we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and change it. But a volunteer says, listen, I don't have to put up with any of this because I'm just doing you a favor. And so if things don't go my way, or if I don't like what you're doing, or if someone does something that offends me, I'm walking. And that is not only the wrong attitude, that is a very ungodly attitude and has no place in the heart and the mind of a servant. Very quickly now, I literally could preach a whole nother sermon, but I'm going to end this sermon very quickly by sharing with you just shortly what being a servant means. A servant is someone who has relinquished his or her rights completely. I see you smiling. I'm going to end quickly. Someone who completely relinquishes their will to their master. And let me tell you, in this church, if you are doing ministry, you're not serving me. You're not serving any elder, any council person on this. You're not even serving if you've got a Sunday school superintendent or girls ministries or Royal Rangers. You're not serving those. You're not serving Bob Brown if you're involved in Royal Rangers. You're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, Bob is one of the kindest, gentlest people. But Bob could be one of the meanest guys you've ever met. He's not. So I want to make that clear. But it wouldn't matter because you're not serving Bob, you're serving the Lord Jesus. And so to understand that, servants, so how do we develop this servant attitude where it's all about God? And the Apostle Paul was always a servant in his life. Number one, we need to develop a reverential awe of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think... Now, and they didn't even know who he was. But can you imagine if you're at your job someday, some guy walks up to you and says, "Follow me." What would you do? Would you just stop what you're doing? Especially if you were making a lot of money. I mean, Matthew, the tax collector, was making a lot of money. And Jesus said, "Follow him." And Matthew and Peter and James and John and all the disciples left everything they had and followed Jesus. Why did they do that? Because he's Jesus. Something happens when you encounter Jesus. And you and I, if we're truly people who are not only born again, we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We should have the same awe and reverence of the Lord Jesus Christ that Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6, or Daniel did in Daniel chapter 10, or John did throughout the book of Revelation. Fall on our face before God. And say to God in the same words that Jesus shared in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done." Develop a reverential awe. Secondly, prioritize your heart and time. Realize God's priorities for your life. God is number one. Family is two. And you might say, "Well, Pastor Randy, are we not to hate mother, father, sister, brother?" Yes. But remember, especially husbands and wives and parents to children who are growing, this is the Lord's commandment for a husband and his wife. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church. Do not sacrifice your marriage for the ministry. God has not called you to do that. That's the word of God saying that, not me. And then ministry. Prayerfully consider every opportunity for service. How many opportunities are there for service in the kingdom? Countless. Countless. And there are some people who want to do all of them. In fact, I'll be the first to raise my hand. How many have bitten off more than you can chew? You thought, "Oh, I can do this. You know, I can teach Sunday school, then do kids' church, then lead the singing, then take the offering, then park cars, then, of course, I'll greet people as they come in. And then I'll vacuum after the service is done. And then during the week, I'll go to every door in the city of Norwich and drop off a flyer." You ever felt that? You know, I'm being facetious, but have you ever felt that way? No one can do that. No one should do that. And God doesn't want you to do that. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I won't share the whole scripture, but God will not put you in a place where you can't bear it. Sometimes, and sometimes we overextend ourselves in life and in ministry. And the reason that we do is we don't prayerfully seek God to see what our unique role is for his kingdom. God, what would you have me to do? Lay it upon my heart. Or when someone says, "I think you would be good in this ministry," prayerfully consider it. It may be God. You know, God will come to you different ways. It may not be God, but he will let you know through the still small voice of his Holy Spirit. And musicians, if you'd like to come, Jeremiah and Henry. Thirdly, understand the gravity of your service. Two things about that. Number one, no one in this room is not only not insignificant, is not any less impactful for the kingdom of God than myself or Sister Leanna or anyone who has a teaching or preaching ministry in the body of Christ, or, you know, Henry or Jeremiah, you know, who are up. Sometimes we think the public people are the important people, and that's not the case at all. And Jesus told a story, or gave an illustration, actually it was a teaching, which points this out. You know, when we think of people who are being used mightily of God in the Bible, and today even, we think of prophets, they're bringing the word of God. You know, powerful. What did Jesus say about a prophet's reward? Does it just go to the prophet? Or does it go to the person who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet? You know, and we can talk about the specifics of that, and that's not the only scripture, but one of the things that God wants us to take from that scripture is what we do, whether we view it as big or as small, it's equally important for the building of God's kingdom. even if the only thing God has called you to do, and it seems insignificant in our eyes, but let me tell you, very truly, it can make a difference in the life of a human soul. If you feel it's God's call to give people a smile and a hug and just love on them when they come in the body, that is no less important than any salvation sermon that I can preach. I mean, I'm not saying we don't need that. We need the preaching of the word, but we also need that demonstrated in Jesus' name. So there's nothing too big. There's nothing too small. And even more so, this isn't like working at United Way or a food bank or something, you know, where we give some hours and we do some nice things. What we are doing, it, if we're doing it in the name of Jesus, has eternal consequences. Do you understand what I'm saying? What we are doing in this place and what we are doing in the name of Christ outside of these doors has eternal consequences. We are literally being used by God to affect people's eternal souls, their destiny. So what you do is far more, the things that you do is more important than what's being done in the White House or in the UN or any other important place, any other important body. The kingdoms of man will fall, but the kingdom of God will last forever. Are you going to build that kingdom? Then you need to adopt that servant mentality in your life. Let's stand. We're going to sing a song in closing. And then we're going to just join together in a group prayer. Believing God. For God not only to maintain, but to increase a servant spirit in our church. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Henry, if you'd lead us this morning.